855-4-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968. And the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
No police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
the police,
asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
And welcome to Speak Out. It's Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. We got a pretty good show today for having it put together in about 12 hours, maybe 12 hours ago. I don't think we've met. Have we, Maria? Have you been on Speak Out before?
I have not. This is my first time.
Bring the mic just a little bit. There you go. You're awesome. Perfect. Maria Schmeling.
Yes.
Is it Schmeling or Schmeling?
Schmeling.
Because Max Schmeling, it's spelled the same way.
Yes.
Is there, am I off here?
No, you're not off.
Is there a 23andMe connection?
I'm not 100% sure, so my grandmother says, but, you know, I have not done my extensive research just yet.
I can see a resemblance. No, seriously, I know what Max Schmeling looks like. I can see his, you know, I'm a big boxing fan. I used to produce a boxing show way, 35 years ago. And no, there's a resemblance there. He fought Joe Louis. Twice, I believe.
Yeah.
One of the most famous men in the world at one time, along with Joe Louis.
Right.
In the world. Think about that. And you might be related.
Yeah.
So that's really intense. So.
Absolutely.
Folks, she's not built up like Max Schmeling. So, no. Not bad. Where do you work out?
I do not work out. I'm allergic to working out.
Me too. Welcome to the club.
If you see me running, you should probably run too.
My listeners know I used to play soccer, and I'm like, you know, being in shape is a lot of work. It is a lot of work.
It is. I used to play soccer as well.
Really?
Yeah.
What position?
I was the stopper. I was center defense.
Another one.
Yep.
You're the second stopper I've met in Havasu in like 2 weeks.
Love it.
Yeah. I was the front sweeper.
Oh, nice.
In the diamond. You're the back sweeper in the diamond or stopper.
Yep.
Wow. So anything that got past the three defenders in front of you, you were responsible for that. And then it was the goalkeeper.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always.
Nice.
You got to hold the line of defense.
High school team? Or
yep.
Did you play league ball?
I played since I was little.
Me too.
Started in Iowa, and then when we moved here when I was 11, I did the rec league and on to high school. Did 4 years of varsity soccer, started every game.
Here?
Yes, sir.
What year did you play high school?
I was there from 04 to 07, graduated in 07.
I started reffing those games in like 07 or 08. I hope I didn't red card you.
I never got a red card, just a couple of yellow cards.
No, I didn't red card anybody. I yellow carded one lady, and it was for a handball in the box.
Oh, there you go. Okay, but that wasn't me.
It was obviously not intentional, but it redirected the ball into a favorable position, so you had to call the penalty kick.
Absolutely. You got to be fair.
Right. Rules of the game, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, what a cool – that's cool. I just found this out, folks. We didn't even rehearse this, so pretty awesome. All right, welcome to the show. And Brandon Bowers, the editor of the Today's News Herald, will be on towards the bottom of the hour. He's going to call in. And, I wonder what we're going to talk about.
I have no idea.
Right. So when did you get the call or the calling for this show?
Last night at about, I think, 9 o'clock.
That's terrible. I told her, don't do it now. So, no, Michelle Ford, thank you very much for helping. I asked Michelle, hey, do you guys have anything you want to talk about? And she said, no, but our Chamber Foundation for Educational Leadership is definitely on the radar right now. And I was kind of wondering why. What is your involvement with the foundation? How long have you been involved with them?
This is my sixth year on the board. I'm the past chair. I did the leadership program. I graduated in 2020 and became a co-chair, which is a fancy way of saying they, you know, run the class and put together the agendas. And then from there, I was asked to be on the board, and I've been serving ever since. I really admire the class and the programs and what the foundation board has done in the past, and I wanted to be a part of that.
Is there a class coming up?
Yes, absolutely. So sign-ups, applications are due next week on the 31st. We take up to 30 students, if you will, adult students. Anybody from around town can apply to be part of the class. Also, employers can send an employee, sponsor an employee and send. It's one Thursday a month, usually the fourth Thursday, except in November and December, of course, because of holidays.
Yeah, I'm not spending Thanksgiving with you guys, right?
No, when we don't expect you to. That's definitely family time. But so it's a 9-month program. It goes from September all the way to May. Next month will be our kickoff. We kind of start with a little bit of a social, a little mixer, where past graduates can come and talk to the new students, and just kind of get them excited for it, get them ramped up about everything that they're going to learn. They're going to learn everything there is to know about Lake Havasu and the community, everything from tourism to business, government, education, arts in the community. It's just a really wonderful, well-rounded class. It definitely inspired the love of Lake Havasu in me.
When did you go through it?
2020. So I started, it was fall of 19, and I was the graduating class of 2020. So unfortunately, our event, every class has to put on an event. They all have to work together and come up with a project that's city approved or an event. We were going to host a golf tournament, and due to COVID shutting everything down, unfortunately, our event did not get to take place.
See, that's almost ironic. You had an outside event.
Right.
Why not a golf tournament during COVID? But if we knew what we know now.
Right. Absolutely.
So this would have been April 2020.
Yep.
That's when a month after I started back here.
Yep.
So there was a lot of fear going on that, you know, the virus lives on surfaces and this and that. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Right. And we have to wear a mask everywhere unless we sit down.
Absolutely. We tried to postpone it, but they just wouldn't let us postpone it twice.
I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to be funny. What was that all about? Was there a force field around me when I sat at the dinner table? So I'm just saying,
I guess so. It's the bubble of Havasu. We didn't need the masks because we live in the bubble.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. So that's an interesting project, though. If you had to do it all over again, what do you think? Not project. I'm sorry. Event. What would your event or your project have been if it was your suggestion? If you're Maria Schmeling going, I'm queen of this class. This is what we're going to do.
There are so many good ideas that have that came before us and have gone on since. There's never been another golf tournament, but I was a really big fan of the murder mystery masquerade dinner that they did.
Ooh.
And 2 years ago, last year they did a casino night. I personally always wanted to try to do Dancing with the Lake Havasu Stars, so kind of like a Dancing with the Stars.
Oh no! Don't even think about it. No way! I'm going on vacation that week.
I thought it would be a really good idea.
If anyone has me in mind, no. I'll nominate Steve Greeley though.
Perfect. We'll have you be a judge instead.
No way! That's a conflict of interest right there. Me and dancing. I make people dance, so I'm a former drummer. So there you go.
Perfect.
All right. Hey, if anybody has a question, wants to talk to Maria, say, I know Maria. I'm going to say hi to her on the radio. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Or you can text us at 928-727-5566. And the Chamber Foundation, has it always been called the Foundation for Educational Leadership?
As long as I've known it,
as far
yes.
as you know. They're responsible for building the stage at London Bridge Beach.
Yes, that was one of the projects for one of the classes.
That's very impressive. When you really go around that area, I mean, besides what's been added to it and all that, it's not an easy build. I mean, you're building on a hill.
No, and it's beautiful.
Right. It's very beautiful. And then you have the shade structure and that. And so when this starts, you said the 31st is the deadline for applications.
Yep. Our mixer, our first kickoff mixer is in August. It is August 20th from 5 to 6:30 on the Icon Legends Icon patio. We're all going to be there doing our meet and greet. And then September, I believe it's September 24th is the first class.
There's going to be a cornhole game that night, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you been on that patio?
I have been on the patio. I haven't seen the cornhole tournament yet.
Not a tournament, but I saw the board.
Oh, yeah.
Were up there. So, okay, what's the cost for an employer or for a person that wants to go through the leadership program?
So it's $700, mm-hmm. and that's for the whole 9 months. It includes all of the lunches and speakers and tours that we do. And it also includes 1 year membership of the LAN, which is the Leadership Alumni Network. So once you graduate from leadership, then you become part of the LAN, which is an extensive kind of a club of everyone who's been in leadership before. And so it kind of pays your dues for the first year there.
Wow, cool. Now, as far as the leadership goes, I've talked to Taylor Harrison before.
He was supposed to do the golf tournament with me. We were the project managers together.
Austin. Very outgoing. And that you're very outgoing. You sell yourself short, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
So anyway, no, you sound very energetic on the radio, I guarantee you. So what are the benefits of LAN?
Of LAN? The benefits of LAN is it's an ongoing network. What's great about leadership is you meet 30 new people from around the city that you might not have gotten to know or branched out and met naturally. And so it's part of networking. And then as you get introduced to the LAN, that's even more. That's just like a pool of individuals that have gone through the leadership program that want to be leaders not only in their place of work, but also in the community. And that's it's a huge deal. Leading in the community is something that I think everybody should strive to participate in. And you got to give where you live or it's just not going to be a very nice place to live.
Okay, Austin. I know where you got that one. So, that is excellent. And what do you think, if you're going around the city in that, what do you think would be a good project? It seems like events. We have a lot of events in the city. But I'm thinking maybe it's about time for a good project.
So before, previously, to my knowledge, the projects were, I believe we would suggest a project. And then the projects kind of got put on hold for a while because a lot of the projects had to be maintained. And the city just didn't have the ability to do that. And so the projects got tabled. And now we've brought the projects back. We just recently, a class did the Moby mats and the handicap swings down at Rotary. So they're bringing those back, but they are all city approved. So what we do is we talk to the city and find out what they would like to see. And they give us about 3 or 4 ideas. And we pitch those to the class and say, you know, pick one of these that would be added into the brainstorming session. What's your favorite? And then they toss in that idea. Unfortunately, just in the last couple of years, the events have won out. But I think it's all going in a different direction. Events, like you said, events, and we have so many of them. And sometimes it's hard to fight for a weekend spot.
Here's an idea. We have a new Christmas tree coming in.
Oh, I love Christmas. 155 days.
Wheeler Park.
Oh.
You remember the one they took out? Right. Project centered around that.
I love it.
Maybe even, you know, so we don't have to bring chairs out there every time they have the event. I don't know.
That'd be great.
Who knows, right?
Maybe a Christmas tree for 365 days of the year.
Well, we have. That is actually going to be planted, again, to replace the old one. And then we have the neon or whatever, the Dr. Seuss tree, I call it, that's going in up at the Commons around the holidays. Did you see the one last year?
I did not.
How could you miss it? Wow.
I did not.
It was like 55, 58 feet high. I don't remember what Gabby said, but, yeah, it was up there. But the topper looked like it came out of the Grinch, you know, the Whoville.
Oh, I love that.
It was pretty cool.
I'm a big Grinch fan.
I really like that tree. I was like, can we keep that one? But anyway, let's go ahead. take our first break of the hour. And, well, no, I'll come back. Marissa's in here. We're going to come back with whatever you have for this date in music history, right? No? I thought that's why you were in here. Okay. I guess that's not why. So, perfect. All right, she's crumbling. she's crumbling before us. Let's go ahead and take our first break then, and we will come back with Maria Schmeling from the Chamber Foundation for Educational Leadership. I love it. We haven't had you guys on in so long.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. No, it's good to have you here. You guys need to come in more, right?
I agree.
This is a band I saw way back in the day. They opened for the Kinks. Does that name sound familiar?
No.
No?
No.
Yep.
Sorry.
This is Quarter Flash, Harden My Heart. Back with more in a moment. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. If you have a question for Maria, and it should be, of course, Foundation for Educational Leadership involved. So there you go. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. Back on Speak Out on this day in music history, courtesy of Marissa June, of course. I'm surprised that Billy Joel is in here. She doesn't really tout Billy that much. It's more definitely Queen. Or Queen is maybe Bowie. I'd have to think. Oh, Stevie Nicks for sure.
Oh yeah.
Anything Fleetwood Mac? No, for Marissa. She has this date in music history, but it's only for like a half a dozen bands.
Love it.
I think she added Billy Joel, but he got his first gold for "It's Still Rock and Roll to Me" on this date in, holy cow, as a sophomore in high school, 1980. Your dad could relate.
Yes, he could.
Your dad, of course, Stu. Yes. Stewart, right? Yes. He's been in that chair right there, chair number one, many times. And Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. And by the way, their open house is tonight. I'll be there tonight. I mentioned it on Election Day, and I was incorrect. So it is tonight. They have a ribbon cutting between 5 and 6, and the open house from 6 till 7:30, I believe. So, Mal, if you're listening, I'll be up there, okay? Also, Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, great pizza, sandwiches, and salads. Home of the Booby Dropper, Main Street, Havasu. That's funny, right? Have you been there?
I have only been there once.
What did you have?
I wanted to have one of their pizzas, but they were out of a couple of things. So we tried one of their sandwiches, and they were very interesting. But it was delicious. But it comes in this, like, bread cylinder type.
Really?
Yeah. So when we shared it, we had to cut it, like, in half, and it, like,
it was folded out.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, but it was delicious.
I could explain it. So,
it was amazing.
Yeah, for radio especially. But, no, I had the pineapple peep show.
Oh, yeah?
That pineapple Hawaiian pizza. Oh, yeah. It's fun. Awesome. And the pepperoni's really good, too. It's not overpowering pepperoni.
I've heard nothing but great things.
Yeah, pretty good. I haven't been in there. They brought it to the show during our Girl Power Hour. Believe it or not, I host a Girl Power Hour.
Wonderful.
It's because of the product I use in my hair, probably, you know? So you got to use product nowadays, right? Product and what's the other thing for your skin?
Moisturizer.
Moisturizer, yeah, absolutely. Oh, wow. The next music I have queued up, it is classic rock, and it is a band that played at my Disneyland grad night.
Really?
Yes. I'm dating myself now. So.
I love it.
So $700 for the entire – it's a one-year program?
It's 9 months. It goes
nine
from
months.
September, and then graduation is in May.
Okay. Was it difficult for – the company that you work for, let's say, or worked for, when you went through it, what's the hardship like? Because you're out for the whole day, right?
Yeah, it all just depends on what your position is. And if we're all adults, so if you have to take a phone call or answer an email, we give breaks throughout the day, bathroom breaks and food breaks. So there's plenty of time to make the phone calls that you need to. And we all know that everyone's a working professional, so if you need to take a phone call, just step out and be respectful of the person giving the presentation or the speech. We have so many speakers that come in and out, so as long as everyone's respectful, we kind of just go with the flow. But it's one day a month, so it's asking too much, but it is from 8 to 5 p.m.
See, I would do the off-the-grid leadership class, you know, go somewhere, I don't know, between here and Parker and be in a secret, top secret location, and no phone calls in, no emails, no nothing. You're all unplugged.
Roughing it.
That's right. It would be like Fear Factor almost. Right?
People wouldn't know what to do.
I know they wouldn't. I would. I'm going on vacation where I'm going to be unplugged.
That sounds wonderful.
It does, doesn't it?
How many days?
There in that location, 4.
Nice.
Yes.
That's a good time to unplug.
Along Highway 1 in California.
Beautiful.
There's a section there that is, no contact. So I like it that way. So anyway, tell people how they can get a hold of you or how they can get a hold of somebody when it comes to joining the leadership class of 2026-27?
Yep.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yep, absolutely. So I would suggest going on the Chamber website. They, under the Leadership Lake Havasu tab, under the CFEL Foundation tab, you can find that on there. I believe it is also linked on both of our social media pages, both Facebook and Instagram, the Chamber Foundation for Education and Leadership. If you have any questions, I would call the Chamber directly. Anyone there can answer basic questions, and if there's any extensive questions that they can't seem to answer, I know they'll direct you to one of the board members, and we'll be happy to walk you through it.
Do you get any opportunity to address those, what do you call them? Are they students, participants? What do you call them?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm
nominees?
Still, the select few that get to go.
Pledges.
Absolutely. We're in full contact. The board attends most of, again, we're all working professionals, so some of us can't be there all day, but throughout the day, most of the board tend to pop in and out, and we try to be as involved with the students as possible, but we do want to let them experience all of the speakers. They are, the professionals and what they're talking about, because they learn things like how to de-stress in the workplace and how to organize your schedule or how to run an efficient meeting. And so those are really the highlights that we need them to take away. But we're always there to also help and encourage and lend other tasty tidbits along the way of how to be a leader.
I'm going to give a tip to anybody out there who's contacted to do a presentation for a leadership class, all right, because I did one.
Yeah.
I did one for media. It was for the Women's Council in Bullhead years and years ago. And they scheduled me, and I was the last one. No, don't do that. They are tired. They are unplugged. They are checked out. They want to go.
They're ready to go home.
They are ready to go. And in fact, my presentation wasn't that long, but the facilitator kept going, move it along, move it along, move it along. And then she finally said, it was funny. It was Olivia McCormick. I'll never forget. She's like, this is the last one of the day, folks, so he'll move it along. Trust me. And I'm like, so, yeah, you want to go at the beginning of the day if you're a volunteer like that and you're like media day like I was. So,
absolutely. It does get to be a long day, but there's so many good lessons throughout, and we try to break it up between the speakers and like tours so that we're not just sitting all day long listening to one person after another. Right. After another, we have a lot of icebreakers in there, a lot of leadership activities, so we kind of break up the day.
Is there anything I missed, maybe, where they can get an application online?
It should be online. Yes, it should be on the Chamber website.
Okay. So just look for Chamber Foundation for Educational Leadership then?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't want to go there. I feel, no, it makes me feel old enough, right? So there's a little Tommy Two-Tone. He was at my Disneyland grad night. I'm dating myself for sure. Seriously, it was him, and the other act was the Pointer Sisters. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, it was.
Sounds like a hell of a night.
It was it's an all-nighter,
Of course.
It was around Beverly Hills Cop. When they were, that's why they were there. So one of the song that they had, I think Neutron Dance or something like that.
I have maybe. No idea. I wasn't born until 88.
Great. All right. Anyway, Maria Schmeling, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it on short notice like that. And you're welcome back anytime. You're a great guest, believe it or not.
Thank you. It was absolutely my pleasure.
All right. Chamber Foundation for Educational Leadership board member?
Past chair board member, yes.
Nice. Nice, nice. So I just wanted to get the creds right. All
love
right.
It.
Perfect. And Brandon Bowers is on the phone. We're going to go to Brandon after the break. And we're going to, I wonder what we're going to talk about. I don't know. Maybe Tuesday and the aftermath. All right. And what's going on now with the count? And there's so many questions that he has and I have. And yeah. So back with more in a moment. Thanks, Maria. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
All
have
right.
a good one.
We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. And you can text at 928-727-5566. We'll be right back. Back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by The Chair, also Mojave College, solar power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City, and A&B Propane online at abpropane.com. Don't forget to shop local because small businesses, kind of a big deal. And you know what? Your hometown newspaper, folks, is kind of a big deal, too. I'm going to say that even though I work on the radio because Brandon... You know, we're really good news partners when you think about it, right?
I can't remember a time we weren't.
Thank you. Brandon Bowers is with me, for the editor of the Today's News Herald. And are you in your new digs? You call it a cave, is that it?
Well, you know, that's probably not the on-air term for it, but we have a new digs at Acoma and near McCulloch. It's in the Acoma Executive Plaza near City Hall. And, yeah, it's a nice building. We like it, but it's different than our old expansive place that had been there since the 80s.
I think you're in the home office right now, right?
I'm in the home office.
Perfect. So Brandon had a great idea for a parody on that song, by the way. And it's not derogative at all, but some people might really get a kick out of it. You say, well, she was a MAGA girl. You know, just go out and make a million bucks on that, right?
That's got a way more appeal to a Havasu audience, right?
Not just Havasu. It might play,
that's true. Arizona, West Coast, I don't know.
It might play well in Kingman. Parts of Golden Valley. I'm just saying.
That's right.
Maybe even Parker. Holy cow, take that one to Foxes. You'll sell 100 copies. So Tuesday was, man, you know, I talked to one of the candidates up in Bullhead this morning. I'm not going to say who, but they say this is one of the weirdest elections ever for both. Well, not even both. I would say Bullhead, Kingman, and Havasu. Have you ever seen anything like this, Brandon? The climate is just very strange.
Well, you know, as I just told somebody, this, you know, every election seems like it's weird in its own way. I've never seen anything quite like this, but, you know, 30 years ago, I don't know how long ago, 25 years ago, we were talking about Bush v. Gore, and we were waiting on results then, too, right? So it's always something.
You know, I kind of have a problem with that election because now I'm thinking maybe the punch cards are a great idea, you know? I mean, I'm just saying maybe we should just check the cards before we drop them in the box and make sure there's no hanging Chads. No offense, Chad Hansen. But, you know, can you interfere with an election with punch cards? Because that seems to be where everybody wants to go every time there's one little problem. We have election interference or we have rigging or whatever, right?
Well, it's been that way for years. I mean, even back then, you remember the issue of the hanging chads, and there were all these photos going around of these poll workers, and they're looking through these holes to make sure they were punched out exactly right. It's a high level of scrutiny no matter what you do.
That's true. And then you got Sonny Borelli's idea, right? We dip our thumb in purple ink so everybody knows that they voted. But anyway, you're still reporting election news. I'm still reporting election news. Is there anything we know that we didn't know yesterday?
No. Well, we know that they've gotten through some of the ballots. That's what we know. They're going to report the ballots, what they have, at 5 p.m. today, or so they say. So there's been a lot of thumb twiddling in our newsroom, and I'm sure yours. We're waiting to find out, like everybody else is. The last results were published at midnight, just after midnight on Wednesday, with no updates. So looks like they still have about 6,000 of the early late ballots, or the late early ballots, I guess is what they're called. Okay. And once they get through those, I think that could make a difference in some of these races.
I had to laugh when you said my newsroom. Uh-huh. I'm literally an anchor now. I don't do much reporting, but I'll take reports or stories and cultivate them and turn them into a newscast. You know, that's more of an anchor. I preside over it. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
What's weird this year is in the past we've always been able to send observers to the county office to help explain what's going on, and they didn't let us do that this year. They didn't let any public observers in, apparently. In fact, kind of a funny story, we had a reporter who was allowed in the building and apparently was not supposed to be, so she got kicked out when she was there on Tuesday night. But nobody had told us that, so it's not like we were trying to get around any rules. Nobody really explained that wasn't allowed. And, you know, I've got a problem with that anyway. I think elections are better when they allow public observers to be there. And anybody who has an interest should be allowed to observe the process and report back. And in the past, it's not just newspapers and radio stations that do that. It's the party affiliates. It's a lot of different interest groups who will go up there and observe these elections. So I kind of have an issue with the county not allowing that this year. And it's definitely not something that is historic practice. We've done that in the past, up until the last election or two.
It's going to be a very interesting Board of Supervisors meeting, the next one, not Monday, but the Monday after. I can't help but think that a few people have some splaining to do, especially for that. I've heard that they went home at 2 o'clock in the morning instead of counting, you know, ballots or running some through. I mean, there's a new elections director, but the former elections director, Alan Tempert, was there making $100 an hour as a consultant. So what did we get for our $100 an hour? No offense, Alan. I like you. I think you did a great job over the past few years. But whoever brought you in, you would think there would be some shifts or something for people to count ballots all night. Am I wrong?
You would think the transition would be a little smoother than it was, given the preparation that went into it. I mean, and part of the problem is we have new people in charge. I mean, there's just that natural delay that's factored in whenever you have a transition like this. So you kind of get it. You understand why this is happening. Additionally, they have a new ballot process this year with these ballot guard papers. So all of these things are new. It's not really any blame to throw around. It's just the reality of things is that there's a lot of different stuff going on that probably slowed down the process a little bit, if I had to guess. That said, the ballot guard thing is said to have gone really well for Mojave County. It was the first experiment in the country with this process, and so far, county officials seem like they're pretty pleased with how it went.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. Tell me a little bit more what you heard, because I keep thinking maybe the paper was the problem, but I guess it wasn't that.
Well, it was a problem initially. When they first experimented with this ballot guard paper, there were some issues where the paper was catching in the printer or something. It was a technical thing. I don't exactly remember what the issue was. But they went back, they worked with the vendor, and were able to come up with a solution that solved the problem. And so they were pretty confident going in that they had a good solution. Seems like, at least in the early conversations we've had about this ballot paper, that seems to be the case. It went well. Like anything else, it's new. New means things are going to go a little slower than you're used to.
Right. Exactly. Have you heard anything else coming out of there? Is there another ballot count today? Yesterday was 7,400. You know,
They said they're down to about 6,000 still to count, but they planned on releasing some results today at 5 p.m.
Okay. Now let's get down to here locally. We have, of course, the Lake Havasu City Council, and And the mayor, of course. The mayor won. I have the counts, the ballot counts right here. I just was online looking. Cal Sheehy with 7,095 votes. River Dave Johnson with 5,884. That computed out to about a 9% lead. That's a sizable lead in politics. To me, every 3 points is a touchdown, right? So
right, it's not insurmountable with the number of votes out there. You figure 7,400 votes not reported yet.
Yeah.
You figure about half of those are for Havasu, okay. maybe up to half. So you know, there's still a way for Dave Johnson to turn that around and come out ahead on this, but it's not going to be an easy thing. He's going to have to get a significant number of those remaining votes to make up that 9%. So I think we're seeing the trend here. I think if I had to guess, this race will hold, but we don't know, and we don't want to make any predictions until we get all the results in.
Well, let me get your thoughts, and this is your opinion, my opinion. My thoughts are that number is high, especially the half of those for Havasu, because of the write-in candidate. Do you agree?
Well, no, not really. I think write-in candidates, John Grapinton did a great job getting his message out. And,
yes.
You know, unlike other writing candidates we've seen over the years, he was really all over social media. He had signs out. He surpassed expectations on writing candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, writing candidates never get a whole lot of traction. We've never seen that. I guess you never say never, but we can give the example of Frankie Lyons, who ran in as a writing candidate for mayor, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And I think she had something like 30 votes total.
Right.
So I don't even think they have a spoiler effect. But anything is possible. I don't want to discount it until we see those results.
Right. And then on the city council side, you had Michelle Lynn topping everybody with 7,638 votes, or 22%. Sam Scarmato, a big surprise to me, 5,868 votes, 17%. And then the sticky wicket, if you will, Neil Tinsley at 5,388. And Jenny Koch with 5,169. So that right there, as it stands, I did the numbers this morning, and it was in runoff status. I don't know about
yeah.
And you did as well. Okay. So
we've done those numbers. Part of the problem is we need to know the total number of ballots cast.
Yes.
There's a formula involved in who gets elected outright in the primary and who goes on to November runoffs. And we think Michelle Lynn and Sam Scarmato are shoo-ins. That's an obvious, we think there are sure things. Neil Tinsley and Jenny Koch are about 220 votes apart. That
right.
could change in these, you know, as these other ballots get released. But also, if Neil Tinsley did not get the required percentage of the vote, then those two would head to a runoff in November. And I think that's a wait-and-see race. It's close. We've seen this before. In fact, we've seen it with Jenny Koch in past elections where she was behind by a tiny bit, came around and beat the challenger, and ended up winning it, I think, in the primary. But it definitely happened in one of the elections where the late ballots made the difference.
We saw the last election where Cameron Moses barely avoided a runoff by like 48 votes, I think it was.
That's right. Yeah, right. These city council races can come down to just a couple of votes. In fact, I think it came down to, with that Jenny Koch race I mentioned, I think it was her. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but it came down to just a handful. We're talking less than 10.
So I know your concentration is Havasu, but here's something very strange that happened in Kingman, okay? You have the mayor, Ken Watkins, won convincingly with 63% of the votes in a two-person race. Now, the proposal submitted by the Kingman City Council was for the mayor to go from a two-year term to a four-year term. That has been defeated by 53% to 47%. That's like, okay, so you elected me, but, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
I'm not surprised. I think local voters in general, especially in our area, I think there's just a natural skepticism when it comes to politics. So if you have the ability to elect somebody every 2 years
mm-hmm.
instead of every 4 years, I think voters like that. I think they like the idea to call it back every 2 years. And, you know, 4 years is a big bet on somebody. You know, I'm not surprised by that result.
Skepticism is a prerequisite for living in Mojave
yeah.
County.
That's right.
So in the Bullhead City Council, they have two-year terms on some seats and they have a 4-year on others. Tammy Ring, the incumbent, it was in a 3-way race with Brittany Kidwell and Annette Wegman Wood. Annette's a former council member. And that's just, now there's a runoff. It'll be between Tammy Ring and Brittany Kidwell because nobody got the number of votes they need. It's the same principle. You take the total number of votes, you divide by the number of candidates, and then divide that in half plus one. You have to go over that. Tammy did not reach that threshold. So, in the other races, it's vote for two, for the 4-year seat, and you have three candidates. I don't think this goes to runoff because it's three candidates going for two, but the vice mayor, Dan Alfonso's in third, but by 108 votes, he's separated from Pamela Smith, the first place candidate. And then you have, Jackie Miller, who is, in second place by, 13 votes, Brandon. 13 votes. Yep. So 108 votes separates first from third, though. And then you have Mayor Rod Head, who is the former police chief, who ran unopposed. So pretty interesting stuff around the tri-state as far as the city races go, I'll tell you that. This one,
yeah, it's really hard to say anything with certainty at this time of year.
It really is. It really is. But we're almost out of time. Anything else you want to mention? Is it a good idea to stay to put, today's News Herald in your, or what is it? HavasuNews.com.
HavasuNews.com. That's where we're reporting all of the news as we get it. It's going live. It's in front of our paywall, meaning you don't have to log in to read the news. We're getting all that election news out there for free because we think it's important to the community. And we are providing updates as we get them. So that's the best place to get it. The e-editions and the print editions have a different cycle, so the news is getting in those editions as well. But if you want the latest news, go to havasunews.com.
You know, I got to give you guys credit, all right, because that e-edition, I love it. I love how to navigate it. I love clicking the story to see the whole thing, not having to, I really like you get a print version, you know what I mean?
We've had a lot of interest in that edition. It's something that we kind of pioneered here, and we've seen other papers do it too. We think it's the secret to that transition between print and digital that so many people like to talk about. We think there will continue to be an appetite for that digital edition. So we will continue to do it, even as print does whatever it does over the years.
Yeah, everybody wants to talk smack about radio and newspapers, right? But you guys are still alive, we're still alive, and the trick is go local, right?
Go local. There's always an interest in local news. That's the thing. It, whatever format that takes, the need for good, reliable information will never go away, and that's what counts. So whatever format you want to get it in, that's what we're going to try to give it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our last break. Oh, the hour, and I don't know why I can hear this. Interesting. Oh, I see what's going on. Oh, smart guy. All right. Back with more in a moment. Hey, Brandon, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I unplugged the phone and then forgot to plug it back in, so I was getting everything blasting out in the studio.
Oh. Well, sorry if I talked too loud.
It wasn't you. Okay. I was getting my calculator in place so that I could add votes.
Oh.
But that's kind of hard important to do. It's like I need a producer or something like that to do that kind of work when we're talking about elections, right? Anyway,
if only we had all the tools we need, right?
Did I miss anything? Is there? Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. As far as those that putting the story up in front of the paywall and the updates on the elections, is there certain times that you guys do that?
Certain stories. We decided this year to do it with all the election stories. So really, those should all be in front of the paywall. There are certain stories, like anything education-related that Dylan writes has to be outside the paywall because it's a grant-funded position.
Uh-huh.
And then anything that's like, if there's health and public safety issues that people need to know, then we'll put those outside the paywall too.
Okay. Well, if it means anything, I think Dylan's doing a great job, and I didn't know that was a grant-funded position, so... he's pretty sustainable with that talent. I'm just saying, if my opinion means anything, he's a good writer. He does a good job.
We love Dylan. Yeah, he's doing a great job for us.
All right. Thanks for joining me, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. And again, that's editor Brandon Bowers from the Today's News Herald. Boy, that was a lot of really good information, being that he's a newspaper guy, don't you think? Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. I'll have a final shot when I come back. All right, I'm back on Speak Out. Going to go a cappella again. Hey, I'm joining Sean Hannity at the top of the hour. No Speak Out tomorrow. No Speak Out tomorrow. But on Monday, we'll have Christine from the Clothes Closet. Going to find out what's going on there. And then Sonny Borelli will be on the show. Yes, he's already confirmed. We'll see you on Monday.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.